Follow the walk of the wild ones into the woods and the darkness. Rebirth the ways of the ancient ones.
Welcome, dear one, to the Emily Alexina podcast. I'm Emily, and I'm interested in finding and nourishing our highest human potential. I believe humans have much more beauty and goodness to share with each other and with nature, much more than we have expressed in recent centuries, although we have seen glimpses of it. I'm excited about our future. On this podcast, you will hear mine and other stories on themes like motherhood, birth, holistic healing, spiritual healing, education, and farming. Support my work by rating, reviewing, and sharing this podcast. Also consider making a financial donation via the link in the show notes. I'm currently saving for new microphones. Music is by Kate Sutherland.
Step by step through the unknown, I'll be your light and you'll be mine. In darkness, let love light the way to feed the soil of changing times.
Hello, wild divine souls. I hope you are doing well in this blistery madness of an October. Blistery here in the changes of seasons that are coming to Canada and Ontario where we are, but also around the world, lots of changes. Astrologically, I have seen that this is also an eclipse season. I would love to be more up to date as to when the eclipses are actually happening, but I don't have the time or brain energy to be putting towards that right now. But I do know that even astrologically, it is kind of an intense time. And for me, that I always find that comforting, that when things are intense on Earth, that there is a mirroring or a message in the sky of some sort that is up for us humans to interpret. And I think astrologers help us with that, but ideally each person would sit with what it means for them rather than taking someone else's word for the truth. I'm sitting here by the water, by South Georgian Bay. The trees in front of me are changing. The maple trees have like these beautiful fiery colors in them set against the gray, cloudy sky. The water is crazy. We have a onshore wind coming from the north, which creates these big waves. So I see the lines of the white foam in the water, and everything just feels pretty wild and crazy. I have to say I'm very happy about this change of weather. I actually love this weather when the tourists are gone and the beaches are free and no one really wants to come out here because they think the weather sucks. But to me, it just feels wild. This weather always reminds me of my travels in Europe to England or to France. And I find that the ocean coastlines there, like the Atlantic coast in France and even in Normandy, it feels like this. There's like a glimpse of time, maybe for 2 months in the summer, where it's very nice. And the rest of the time, it's windy, it's cloudy, it's spitting rain. And I love it. To me, it just feels really wild. I look at the foam on the water, on the waves, and makes me think of the foam I had put in my latte that has now disintegrated into the liquid. One of my favorite things is foamed frothed milk. We are getting raw milk from a farmer nearby, and so that I froth it up and put it in my latte, which does not have any caffeine in it. Caffeine really screws up with my system pretty quickly. I find, especially in the first 2 years postpartum, where sleep and rest are hard to come by, I'm way too sensitive to caffeine and even in chocolate too. So the foam in my latte, which I have put the yummy, is it Numi? I'll put it in the show notes. This powder that's like a dandelion and chicory mix, and it tastes pretty good. And I also add some maca and some reishi in there, and some tinctures like stressed by, oh my goodness, who are the people? St. Francis Herbs. And Canadian Bitters is one that I really love. I started taking it when I had a bout of diarrhea this summer, and I find that it kind of clears my liver and keeps me clean and clear if I take it first thing in the morning. And the stressed is because, well, this week was a doozy, as I will share, and I'm hoping to get a little bit of herbal support with that in my little latte. So I have not added any sweetener, so it's a bit, you know, intense, but kind of goes well with the weather. So I wanted to update you guys as to kind of the different things that have been happening, how homeschooling has been going with the three children and the change of seasons. Before I get in, I have been reading Portal by Yolanda Norris Clark, and there are some parts in the book that I wanted to share. I love books. I love reading. I love taking in other people's heartfelt messages, especially when they're heartfelt. That's kind of what I'm looking for. It's like the soul's content. I will also share about Clarissa Pinkola Estes. And regarding this book, Portal by Yolanda Norris Clark, I had dived into it maybe a month ago. I had opened up a random page and just read along that page, and I had immediately found it too wordy, a little bit pretentious, and uplifting this idea of pain-free birth and and how it's basically accessible to every woman, like, very easily. And I got a little bit like, ugh, and I closed the book. Now I'm part of a little group chat on Telegram of other birth workers, underground birth workers, underground, I don't know, maybe not so underground, but, you know, traditional birth attendants, women attending births outside of the system. And a few of them have been saying how amazing the book is. So I thought I would give it another chance, and that I likely had to start from the beginning. So I have started from the beginning, and the beginning, at least, is amazing. It's amazing. It's, I would say now, poetic and inspiring, and talks about quantum science and deep spirituality, deep sovereignty, like complete sovereignty. And these are all topics that I am full on into. And so I hope to see that, you know, there's still quite a bit of the book. I'm what, a page 30, and there are maybe, let's see, 355 pages left. So I will update you to show to as to how I like the book as I go. But in the beginning, she talks about her 9th birth experience. So Yolanda has had 9 babies. I think she says 14 pregnancies. So there have been losses in there, but 9 births to 9 babies. And she talks about the birth of this most recent baby in the, as of the writing, because she is now pregnant with her 10th baby. And she talks about her waters opening and feeling like going for a swim in the ocean and doing that with her son. It's so beautiful what she writes. In the shallow water, we play, capsizing each other. Felix doesn't have to exert much effort. The weight of my ridiculous porpoise-like body as I heave myself onto the board is enough to pull us both over. Occasionally, my uterus contracts, and I have to stop for a moment, concentrating, welcoming the surge. As the sun finally sinks below the sill of the earth, I abandon the board, swimming out, treading water, witnessing the world turn to gold. Yes, you see, it's poetic. She can definitely be wordy and pretentious. She even knows this herself. But I feel like I'm getting an academic degree in English as I read this book. Definitely getting immensely smarter. And for now, it feels poetic rather than too much. So I'm curious to see how it will go. I did have a very pregnant friend who's due, you know, in the next 2-3 weeks, asked me if I recommended this book. And because of my experience reading that first page, or, you know, a month ago, I said, I think this is too much for the last month of pregnancy. But who am I to say? And I really need to read the whole book before I can recommend it, because I actually find that these first few pages could have been very useful to a very pregnant, soon to be birthing mama. And this is another thing that kind of jumped out at me and was definitely where I was at regarding my free birth that I wanted to read to you. She's kind of talking about in industrial obstetrics and allopathic medicine. So I'm just going to jump into the paragraph. Instead, I would be undergoing pregnancy and birth in a way that, as I saw it, epitomized freedom and autonomy. I hired out of pocket an underground traditional birth attendant, an authentic midwife in my eyes, who was able and more than willing to respect my total authority. With that, I walked away from the Trojan horse that is Canada's quote-unquote free midwifery system. At first, the choice to fully trust my body's capacity to grow and birth my child was a form of resistance and even rebellion. I was angry at what I saw as the deceptiveness of medical hegemony, and I wanted no part in the medico-pharmaceutical industrial machine, and I was determined to prove it and them wrong. The next paragraph continues with this, which I will just add. What began as a near militant rejection of the system, however, quickly morphed into an embrace of what I discovered to be the deeper reality. Pregnancy and birth are both processes that tend to work very well when they are not being messed around with. Childbearing is made up of normal, spontaneous, biological events that function as predictably and as impeccably as any other natural biological system. Yeah, I love that. I love that. And for me, it actually echoed a lot of what I went through with choosing my free birth and birth outside the system with our son, our little Theo, that it felt very much like a militant act, an act of rebellion, an act of heroism for what women undergo in the system. I felt like I could simply not participate, knowing that I have other options and knowing that I am resourced with information and within my own self, that I could not participate in that system. And it was pretty militant, like very much of a Martian decision. And I don't know if I've shared this. I may have shared this in another episode, but I will repeat it here again. I find it can be useful in podcasts to repeat. I did a quantum healing session 2 months ago now, and one of the messages in that session was that the babies I have had are marked with this energy of kind of rebellion and fighting and changing the system and making a difference and making a change, you know, because my births, I was slowly taking my steps of, kind of birthing in a more natural, aligned, sovereign way with every birth, with this energy of rebellion and a bit of a fight. And I feel that if there is another baby, that it will be in a much more loving and easeful state. And I think this is what Yolanda's book is getting to, is that we can drop the fight altogether and simply step into what is, which is love. That sounds maybe really deep and oversimplistic, but something around those lines. And I think that this book is waking me up to that. I can see how Theo's birth, as I shared in previous episodes, I didn't feel like super elated about. I found it really hard, although it was an incredibly smooth birth. I found it hard and unpleasant. And I think it's because of so much of the anger and kind of and all the perceptions that I had about what my choices meant, about not being in alignment and having the approval of my family and even friends and most of, you know, the normal world. And I can see now that there could have been another way, a more easeful way, a more loving way, that would have been closer to the truth. And so it's a very interesting thing to digest. And I think that this book is going to help me process all of that. Speaking of another child, no, I'm not pregnant, but this week was freaking hard, you guys, freaking hard. And for those of you who have been listening for a while, you know how hard last winter was for us. The kids were constantly sick. Vitaly was home from work as of February until August. And from February until the summer, really until May, it was survival mode. We were both at 100% capacity, simply taking care of the children and ourselves, the children who were, it seemed, perpetually sick, taking care of food and the house. You know, that was it. That was all we were doing. And this week, the kids were sick again. We made it to Thanksgiving, which was fun and much more pleasant. I was a little bit worried. There's still some tensions in my family, but it was smooth. It was fun. It was really nice. It was actually relaxing and nourishing, which feels nice to have that with my blood family in this body. And we spent the Friday before Thanksgiving making a ton of food. My mom is not the most like housewifey type person, and I think that's why it comes out in me. Since I was a kid, love baking and making desserts and crafting gifts for other people. I've always craved that. And my mom was, you know, a working woman. She was married to a man who was working very hard and was, you know, pretty difficult emotionally. She actually told me on the weekend that she never saw him being with her grandchildren, being around her grandchildren. And the way things have turned out is that my dad does not speak to my sisters or I at the moment, and has no relationship with his grandchildren. So, wow. But I am kind of really sitting with what that meant for her as a mother to four children who had this man as her partner. And so she had her own business, which she had kind of inherited or taken over from her father in real estate, industrial real estate, and worked really hard. And what I'm realizing now in those years was that she was, she was saving up money basically to be able to divorce my dad and be able to be financially independent. And a lot of the things that I held against her and have only recently released, she was not really able to do because of the circumstances she was in, you know? And sure, maybe, you know, anything could have gone differently, but it's amazing how with time and age and perspective, I understand so much more of what she went through. Now having my third child, it's like a hit of humility, you guys, where a lot of the judgments I had towards my own mother and even towards, you know, my aunties and other women that I observed as a teenager or, you know, in my early 20s or even when I had my first child or even my second child, a lot of those judgments are really softening, where I'm coming to a place of seeing and understanding and having more perspective. And feels really good in my body. It feels like there's this hardness that is softening and melting away. And it still means that it's hard. It's freaking hard. We went to Thanksgiving. It was really lovely. And some of the babies there were sick. My sisters have two small babies who are adorable. I just love babies so much. And that meant that we all got sick. So my eldest had been coughing already for about a week, and that just got worse, coughing at night. So she'd be fine during the day, but then at night she would be coughing. Baby got a cough and a sinusy thing. The middle one also had a fever. She bounced back really quick. She had a big, hard, strong fever, slept a whole afternoon, and she was basically fine the next day. The others dragged it out a little bit, where the nights were coughing and snotty, and I basically was up, awake, you know, with them like every hour for 15 minutes. That's what it felt like. It maybe wasn't as bad, maybe every 2 hours for 15, 30 minutes. But yes, basically absolutely zero effing sleep. And Vitaly was helping for a part of it. We're also house sitting my in-law's cat, and she wants to be in and out of the house. And so he's up with her, awake in the night, and it's just a mess. No one is sleeping. And so that meant that no school got done. Actually, I did squeeze in a page of school one of the days, one of the afternoons, I can't remember, a bit of a workbook. I did finish knitting a hat for my cousin who's having a baby, which is fun. It's a project that for normal people would probably take, you know, a week, a few days, and it took me 2 months. But that's okay. I'm really coming to a place. I'm coming to a place of not complaining. I'm working on inner work of radical gratitude towards every single moment. This kind of comes along the lines of my worldview and my spiritual, I guess, understanding of the world, where I'm at the moment, and working with people in quantum healing and helping them see their past lives and the space in between lives really gives me a perspective as to how short this experience on Earth is. It gives me space and detachment from my personality, my body, my life, which means that I can be more present in my body and my life. It's a fascinating thing. The more detached I am and understand the true essence of who I am as a soul, and that is like way beyond, you know, this body and this existence on Earth, gives me so much energy to just do the work and just do the things and just do my best here. I've had so many people tell me, you know, just do your best, you know, you don't take things so seriously, because I have had a tendency to take things seriously and to want so much more and so much better and to see the potential and to want to live that 100%. I was a 100%, you know, student in school, no matter what it took, because that's just what I wanted to create and bring about. Why do less than 100%? And so this sense of detachment and space allows me to really accept the season that we're in. And it's been a process, actually, since baby's arrival. Last year, I had a lot of doubt. I kept thinking my daughters would be better in school. We actually have a school that we can see right out our backyard, like right through our backyard, through the windows at the back of the house. And we hear the bells go off throughout the day. So I have a constant reminder as to what the children are doing, that they're in school, that they're on a better routine and rhythm, with the bells that are going off. And I'm in my house in shambles. It's upside down. I'm so tired. The baby now is a toddler, is making a mess of everything. The girls are pretty creative and are moving things about everywhere. And last year, it really got to me. And the experience of putting the girls in school for 2 weeks, as I said, really confirmed in me that it is not an option for me. And in this lifetime, as this mother here, I'm choosing what I'm choosing, with all the beauty and imperfection that it is. And that means that right now for this season, there are things that are lacking and missing. That is not love for the girls, you know, that is not love for the children. That is not their safety, and their nourishment physically, emotionally, and spiritually. All those things are being met. It's the other superficial things, like, you know, some of the academic stuff that is not being met. Also, the Waldorf curriculum and, you know, academic path is incredibly beautiful. And I see it and I think that is what I want to give to my children. And it is absolutely out of reach for the moment. And that's okay. That's okay. That's really okay. The kids are still developing well and they are getting what I want to give them that I believe the school cannot give them. My eldest, who is almost 9, wow, 9 is a really big shift, you guys. I've been talking about the 9-year change, and she's just about to turn 9, and it is amazing what is happening to her. I like to say that the ages of our children kind of take over them, like they have an essence that is theirs, but like the toddler takes over the being of my child, then the 4 or 5-year-old takes over the being of my child, then the 7-year-old, then the 9-year-old takes over the being of the child. And so there's this like 9-year-oldness that is exuding from them. And I have to sometimes, or I like to look behind that layer and see who is the child that is behind that. And with this lack of sleep and exhaustion, I have no choice but to take the easy way. And the easy way, I mean, is like the way of flow. So for example, with my eldest, sometimes I would love for her to pay more attention to detail, pay more attention to spelling, be quicker with math. She's kind of slow with math. And yet, sometimes she asks me certain questions or she says certain things and I am blown away by her depth and her emotional intelligence is out of this world. Her love and compassion for others is out of this world. As much as she can be fiery and hard sometimes, she has a depth of compassion that blows me away. It's something that I actually personally strive towards. And so I try to bring it to my children, in the way that I talk about things, even in the way that I talk about having emotional, you know, or relationship issues with like people in my family or friends, or how I feel about the government and things like that. I do my best as to where I am now to bring in love and compassion around these talks. And my daughters kind of blow that out of the water. They really understand, and they understand better than what I'm working to do. It's amazing. And so I keep telling them, you know, you're teaching me things, your interpretations matter, your thoughts and your questions matter. I find growing up, I had a lot of, you know, interesting and different questions and ideas and perspectives, that some people saw and understood, but some other people who were important to me kind of just shut them down and said, oh, well, that's preposterous. Like, that doesn't make sense. Or like, stop overthinking was a lot of the message that I got, which created a lot of self-doubt. But that's okay, because overcoming that has made me even stronger, I think, right now. And what else do I want to add? Oh, yes, this idea of the fourth child. Because even just yesterday, I said to Vitaly, I said, Vitaly, I don't think I want to have another kid. I can't do this. I can't do this again. Yesterday, I was very, very, very tired. You know, it's to the point where you haven't had time for quote unquote self-care in weeks. I feel like motherhood should be a special category of health and self-care. Like anything that anyone says online or in social media, or even that people will talk to you and say, oh, you should just sleep more, or oh, you should just, you know, book yourself a massage, or or you just need to relax, you know, just enjoy your children. It's like in the fire of mothering a child, honestly, under three, even under four, all of that, a lot of that is out the window and simply cannot apply. That's the way I see it anyway. I mean, again, when you have less children, it's possibly easier. I don't know. Maybe I will have a different message for you if there is a fourth baby. But yesterday, and after the week that we had, I told Vitaly, I don't think I can do this again. And one thing I want to do to myself is like remind myself as to how hard it is so that I can remember to not have another baby. It's like I have to really try to remind myself really hard so that I can remember 3 or 4 years from now when I have that desire to not do it again. And of course, the truth and the funny thing is that that doesn't matter at all. Because who I am 3 or 4 years from now, 2, 3 years from now, is going to be very different. Our life circumstances are likely going to be different. And we will have to make the decision, you know, based on that. And if there's a child knocking on the door from the other side of the veil, so to speak, I will have to have a conversation with that spirit then, with my husband then. So ultimately, I think it's a waste of energy. And I don't know, just a laughing matter, really. But truthfully, it is insanity what mothers are going through. Another thing, you know, something that I'm working on is last year I spent a lot of energy on resenting the people who I thought should be helping and could be helping and weren't, and also the culture and being alone in my home and, you know, school being so shitty that I have to keep my children home and do this insane thing. I spent a lot of energy on those emotions. And I think it's especially after my quantum healing session that I have seen another way and been able to lift and release a lot of that frustration and resentment. It's just kind of like melted away. And so now where I'm at is just understanding the culture, the overculture, and where we're at on Earth, and owning my choice to doing the best that I can to do something different, and just being grateful for doing the work. I call it radical gratitude. We cannot hold resentment in radical gratitude. For example, I could have spent a lot of energy on those thoughts and emotions even this week, and I likely would not have had the energy to then get up on a Sunday morning, the first thing that I want to do before tidying up the house or taking a shower is recording this podcast. Because that is truly what my heart is calling me to do. I feel like these perspectives could be helpful to others, and I want to get them off my chest. And so not wasting time on those thoughts and emotions means that I have time and energy for something like this, which is a lot more productive and helpful for the world and more fun for myself to do. Lastly, I'd love to share about a conversation I had with my 9-year-old. I feel like I talk about her a lot, and it's mostly because she's the one who talks to me the most. She talks a lot and has a lot of questions. It's kind of the symptoms of that age. But before I talk to her, I can say that baby Theo has very long hair, as some of you know from Instagram. And we've been putting a clip in his hair, clipping it off to the side, sometimes a ponytail, like straight up. Radha calls it his unicorn look. And well, I cut his hair yesterday. I was fed up and tired, and he was walking around with his hair in his face, and I said, I just have to cut it. And so my 5-year-old held him back, and I put my hands over his eyes and just snipped kind of across his forehead. And it looks ridiculous. It is not a job well done. But at least his hair is out of his face. And I feel like that is a third child mama survival thing. You know, I don't have the time to look into a hairdresser or the money for it at the moment, to be honest. Or the time to look into how to do this perfectly, watch a YouTube video, all the things. None of that is, you know, seemingly possible. And we just went for it. And so now his hair is out of his face. Vitaly has all these dreams about giving him nice boy haircuts with like his buzzer. So I think he will take care of improving the situation. Vitaly does his own hair and beard. And we say that when he goes to Vitaly. Like the Italian version of himself who does his hair. So Vitaly will take care of Theo's hair. Now, as for the deep conversation with my daughter, my eldest, Leia, she has been having quite a bit of anxiety, I would say, that comes out at night. And I think there's a lot of reasons for that, which I will maybe get into in another episode. And yesterday, she came to me at night, and, you know, sometimes she's very shy because we say, let mama sleep, give mama her time. Mama's tired a lot of the time, right, is what she gets. And, you know, I said, Leia, she said, Mom, can I come if it's an emergency? If it's an emergency, can I come? Because sometimes I have these nightmares and I don't know if I should bother you or not. And can I come? And I said, Leia, yes, tonight, if it's an emergency, a true emergency, you can come. And then she kind of started talking a little bit more about some of the nightmares that she has been having of people coming and shooting the family or robbers coming into the house. It's very intense, very dark. And I knew that she was getting up at night. I knew that she had fears, but I didn't realize they were nightmares that she was seeing. And I kind of feel bad a little bit that I miss that. I do think that there's something in, you know, having to try to overcome things ourselves. But we had a really deep chat about all these things. One of her big fears at the moment actually is fear of death and fear of someone she loves dying. And of course, it's something that I actually love talking about death, looking into death. Quantum healing is kind of all about learning who we are beyond our physical body. And so we had deep chats, and I even told her about some of the experiences that my clients have in quantum healing, what they see beyond death, what I have seen in past lives. I told her about the one past life of the woman in France who has no fear about anything. she's like a druidess type woman who experienced difficulty in her life. You know, they were being hunted down by the church, those people. And she was so strongly connected to Divine Mother, Divine Father, and unwavering in that connection that she had no fear, none. And I told her about, I told Leia about this, and she was listening with open ears and eyes and heart. And she was asking very interesting questions like, you know, is it possible to do a surrogate session? Is it possible to do a session for someone else? She's like, maybe we can do one for my grandpa, for, you know, my dad, who has cut us out of his life for now. And I just found it so deep of her and very intelligent. I tell her that. I say, you're intelligent. You're emotionally, your heart is very intelligent. And she's intelligent in other ways too. It's more with, so with languages than with math. But I tell her that. I tell her, you're intelligent. And one thing she said, I will leave you with this, was, wow, Mama, I'm so lucky to have you as a mom. I'm so lucky that you do this work and that you can help me with these fears. Imagine if I was a child who had these fears and I couldn't talk to you about it. I didn't have a mom that understood these things and could talk to me about it. You guys can imagine that my heart basically exploded in that moment. And made me think, oh my God, I want to have 10 children like Yolanda Norris Clark. Yeah. And I have fears about talking about these topics of past lives and the quantum healing. You know, I know there's still thoughts in the world that it's, you know, wrong and sinful to be exploring these esoteric topics, that reincarnation doesn't even exist. There's a lot of people that just cut that right out. So I still have moments of doubt. In my family, it's certainly not something that's kind of talked about or respected. And so to have my eldest daughter see me and appreciate me like that was, yeah, wow, really, really big. And so, you know, the academic and Waldorf-y side of homeschooling didn't really happen, but man, were big lessons learned, was wisdom shared and curated, and I see kind of like gardened in the family. And that means that it was a beautiful time. And so I hope aspects of this conversation or thoughts sharing has been useful for you. I appreciate the listeners. I appreciate those writing in with your comments and thoughts. If there are any topics that you would like me to explore or to dive more deeply into, please reach out. It's very encouraging and gives me momentum when you guys are reaching out and sharing. You can connect with me on Instagram, kind of see what we're up to in the day-to-day. And upcoming things, upcoming events, if you're listening to this soon, next week on Saturday, we will have a prenatal, pre and postnatal village gathering next Saturday morning on October 21st. And next week on October 22nd, I had planned to do an in-person group past life regression. That will be changed to an online event. And I'm going to do the first one at a pretty cheap price of, I'm thinking $33 is what I'm feeling into, for 2 hours of experiencing aspects of, I guess, past life regression. Now, quantum healing, hypnosis, it goes so much more beyond just past lives, but for a lot of people, that is a great entryway into opening up their consciousness and getting perspective and space within their mind about things in their life, which, you know, then gives us so much more room to breathe in our life. So thank you for listening and have the most beautiful day.
Follow the walk of the wild ones into the woods and the darkness. rebirth the ways of the ancient ones whose tracks were washed away in blood. It falls to us now to open up and taste beyond what we've been fed. Take up the phoenix fire of cleansing, change to light the path instead. Follow the walk of the wild ones into the woods and the darkness. Rebirth the ways of the ancient ones whose tracks were washed away in blood. It falls to us now to open up and taste beyond what we've been fed. Take up the phoenix fire of cleansing, change to light the path instead. Step by step through the unknown, I'll be your light and you'll be mine. In darkness, let love light the way to feed the soil of changing times. Step by step through the unknown, I'll be your light and you'll be mine. In darkness, let love light the way to feed the soil of changing times. Follow the walk of the wild ones into the woods and the darkness. Rebirth the ways of the ancient ones whose tracks were washed away in blood. It falls to us now to open up and taste beyond what we've been fed. Take up the phoenix fire of cleansing, change to light the path instead. Step by step through the unknown, I'll be your light and you'll be mine. In darkness, let love light the way to feed the soil of changing times. Step by step through the unknown, I'll be your light and you'll be mine. In darkness, let love.